Hey, welcome FanBundance families, any GoBundance families, MGLs, and anyone else who is listening to this podcast, Learn and Grow Zoom call. I'm here with Vanessa Stone, and instead of listing off all the things that Vanessa has accomplished, I'm actually going to ask her a question to start this this interview, which is, what are one or two moments that you're most proud of in your career?
As I said before, there's so many moments that I feel really proud of. One that comes to me is a time when we had a whole bunch of youth from all over the world, and especially we had a group of youth that just arrived from Iraq, some Muslim youth. And we had a circle where we invited everybody to express their spiritual, traditional, cultural way of prayer in their home. And this group was very afraid to pray because we're in America, and they were afraid to expose where they were from. And with some encouragement, one stepped out and began to pray the traditional Islamic prayers. And after that, each kid from all over the world joined and stood behind him and began to just mimic out of honor and respect. And so I had the whole village of young people standing behind this young man from Iraq and just letting him know that they stood in solidarity with him. So that's one moment. It was very powerful. I think another moment is one that's coming now is just, I've done a lot of work in San Quentin prison. And I have, the first time we went there, I got to witness for the first time in the yard, these men who are trying very hard for restoring their forgiveness, justice, and really repairing some of the things that they've done. They stood in a circle and held hands in the yard, which is never done. Again, as supporting each other on their path of healing and forgiving themselves. So those are two moments that come.
Wow. So that is such those are amazing stories. The common thread sounds like bringing people together.
Absolutely.
Tell us about how bringing people together has played a role in your journey as a human being.
Well, I feel like that, you know, we look at all the issues in our world and we can easily slice the pie and say, well, this is their issue and that's their issue and that's that issue over there in that country or that neighborhood. And the reality is it's our issue as humans. And so I feel like bringing people together from diverse backgrounds and intergenerational, interfaith and multicultural is essential if we want to address the core issues that face our communities, which really is separation from each other, from ourselves first and then each other. So I personally am passionate about bearing witness to what happens when humans come together with a willingness to really meet, to see each other, to communicate, to be authentic.
Was that something you've always been into? Like, take us back to when you were a kid. Let's just say, start wherever you want when you were a kid. Just tell us a little bit about your childhood and where along the way between young Vanessa, maybe it's always been there, and where you are now, where did you start to develop a passion and a hunger for bringing people together and uniting us the way that you just described?
Well, young Vanessa was an introvert and very quiet. So I spent the first 12 years of my life in observation, very quiet, you know, even reluctant to jump in. I was just shy, really, really shy. And so I feel like I just sat back and kind of studied humans, my own family, my school, my community of friends. I always just felt, you know, like I was taking it in. And I think somewhere in that I started to track where we divide and where we hide and where we protect ourselves and kind of pretend with each other. But the feeling of unifying people, I think I used to get very moved when I'd be in a large group of people, no matter what. It could be a music event or something at school, or I would get so moved when there were so many people together kind of pointing their attention towards the same thing. I would get so moved when all these people who didn't know each other 10 minutes ago all of a sudden are uniting in whatever it is, in awe, in wonder, in celebration. It would make me cry. And I realized in myself that, you know, it was something that I personally was seeking just the power of togetherness, the power of being unified around something. So it just always moved me. And then it started getting experimental. What happens when we bring really different people together, different ages, parents and children, in a meaningful way, intentional?
So you're 12 years old, you're an introvert.
Yes.
And you're watching everything go on. When did you start stepping out of being an introvert? Around what age did you start to come out of the introverted shell?
Well, if I'm honest, I mean, I went from introvert to having a really big voice and being kind of rebellious. I think I'd sat back for so long and watched how things were working in school, and I had something to say once I got into my teens. I was resistant a little bit, you know, just testing, pushing back. So I think around 14 is when I really started surfacing with my voice and speaking my truth at the time, and just really wanting to be heard, seen and heard, really.
Yeah. And how were you? You said rebellious. What were some of the things that you experienced as a teenager in regards to the status quo, what was expected of you, popularity, that type of stuff?
I felt like this, for me, I felt like I had a lot more vision and creative energy inside of me that school wasn't really capturing or honoring for me, or seeing or recognizing as a gift, as a power, as something to be nurtured or cultivated.
Right.
So I felt in my limited form of communication as a young person, I just started pushing back. When I look back on it, I know it's just because I felt like I had a jewel inside of me, but there weren't a lot of adults that were interested. You know, that was just the reality of school for me. I wasn't the most academically inclined. It's far more creative.
And what was it like? What was your home life like, and how did that all go over with your parents?
Well, my mother was raising me as an immigrant. She's from Colombia. She worked really hard. She was obviously, my mother is very supportive in this way. My mother always, she did see me. She saw me, but she didn't know what to do with that. She was busy. But she deeply loved me, and she would always just tell me that there's going to be a time in my life where I could let all of this out. And of course, she'd say, just please go to school and do good with your homework and all of that. But I have to be honest, I felt like I had a vision already for my life that no one was talking about in school. And my mother always encourage and just said, be patient. She never asked me to compromise that. She definitely asked me to rise up to the ask at school, and she asked me to behave and do all that. And, you know, I was okay at that. But she always fanned the fire that there would be a time when I could absolutely embody what felt like just a little flame inside. So she always honored that.
That's like, yeah. And when you say honored it, you mean she kind of believed that it was there, looked for it inside of you, and tried to create an environment that never let it go out?
I feel like my mom created this little protection around the sprout, you know, and the sprout was this feeling in me that there was more than what I was being told was possible for my life. And she just fanned the flame as best she could until a time came when I could tend that fire myself. So I honor her for that. And she still does that.
Yeah, my mom does that too. She does a great, we love moms.
I love my mom. I wasn't always, you know, there's a time when I was also mad at my mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember my mom telling me that I couldn't go to a senior. I couldn't go to a dance with a senior when I was a freshman. And I decided I was going to run away from home. And I ran away one block. And then like 2 hours later, I came back and apologized.
I would have ran more than a couple blocks, but
I know. I was like thinking I was going to camp in the woods. That was like, that's one of those moments where I can remember being like really disappointed in my mom, like for not letting me do something. And when I look back at all of the reasons why she was saying that that wasn't a good idea for me, they're all so totally valid. And all she was trying to do is not just, like, she was actually trying to keep me not just protected. She was really trying to make sure I didn't get into the wrong crowd and get washed up in some things that she could see that I couldn't see then. I saw popularity and cool, and she saw like poor choices and maybe experiences that end my son up in jail or something. So,
moms are so good.
Yeah, moms are amazing.
Moms eternal.
How did you get along with other kids like in school?
You know, I'm telling you, I was rebellious. I can't say I was.
Did you have friends?
Yes, I had tons of friends, but I went through a lot as a young person. I was dealing with things in my body, you know, like I had some issues in my physical body. I was having conversations around my health, around just my home life and my grades that not every kid was having. I was thinking deeply really young. I was ready to get past the school part. So, I mean, I had a lot of friends, and I still, that introverted part of me, it went from being quiet and being able to come out, but it still had a depth. It went deep. I was really thinking about the purpose of my life at a really young age. Like, really, what is the purpose of my life? What's the point here? With sincerity, really asking. Because it, again, like I said, for me, it was like if I felt at the time and I couldn't see beyond school, right? I felt like I was in this kind of a box with this amazing energy inside my heart and my soul. I just ready to come out. And it just felt like there wasn't anywhere I could express it. So, you know, I had a lot of friends, but I was thinking about something else. I was. Yeah. And even though, you know, I went up and down with my grades and I had all that going on because I was so in there, I never was concerned for myself. You know, I was, even though maybe my teachers were, or I wasn't, I had this knowing inside of me at a young age. I believe most young people do. We just don't ask those questions very often. We don't touch that part until later.
Yep. So I have a two-part question. One is, and I'll do it in, it's actually two different questions.
Sure.
One is, just tell us about, I can see the picture you're painting of you being focused on something that maybe your friends aren't talking about or interested in. There's several of our MGLs in this group who have entrepreneurial parents.
Right.
And so they're driven towards viewing the world from the lens of an entrepreneur who believes in mindset, who believes in authenticity, being yourself. You're going to get paid what you put in, all these different goals, visions, strengths, benchmarks, investments, passive income, all these different ways to, for the kids now, of the kids of these entrepreneurial families to actually see the world differently than most of their friends,
right?
Who see kind of a linear school, college, job,
right?
Like the job will determine where I get in life. So I think what I'd like to ask is about how, even though you didn't have friends who were necessarily thinking what you were thinking about, how did you manage those relationships, and what do you remember about those relationships now that you are appreciative of?
Oh, so many things. I mean, even to this day, I could resonate with those questions. It's being that I knew that inside of me, there were definitely some friends that could show up and we could go there into the dreaming, you know?
Mm, really, together.
Yeah, really dreaming. Yeah. Friends that are there to do the things we do every day, you know, eat lunch together, go out every now and then. And I see the value, and I did then too, of those relations. Because if I'm a person that's going to enter the world, especially with a service, a vision, a skill, and I want to contribute to my community or society in whatever way, I've appreciated having a diverse group of friends that weren't all in the same conversation. It taught me about humanity, taught me about myself. It let me expand my capacity to connect and collaborate and understand humans of all walks of life. So as I said, I was young, I was very observant, I was really studying humans. And so to have a diverse group of friends that didn't necessarily have the same interests or conversation, I actually started to see it as a really important study. Mm. And it let me grow as a human in my capacity to meet everybody wherever they are. And to have the humility in myself to do that, to be willing. I mean, I thrive in diversity. I think most of us do.
Huh. It's good. I like that. Say that one more time.
Thrive in diversity. I think most of us do.
Yeah. I think we thrive in diversity. I think we also thrive in within adversity.
Absolutely.
Getting through. So something that you said about being open to seeing other people where they are. It can be really easy in like in high school, especially to be judgmental.
Sure.
Because there's these different groups that are all kind of have their own like little defined what their group is. The nerdy kids, the drama kids, the athletic kids, the popular kids, the whatever kids. And something that you and I share, that it sounds like we shared in regards to back in that time, is we were all always not necessarily labeling people, but just looking at people as people.
I mean, it is community, no matter what.
How has that played a role in looking at everyone as your potential teacher?
Oh, look, I there's nothing about my wisdom or anything I have inside of me that didn't come from my interpersonal relational experience here on planet Earth. Everyone I've met, not only have they taught me something about my own humanity, they're also reflect to me parts of myself that I might not be able to see. So, no, I continue today, walking down the street to me is like the deepest university of learning there is, if I'm willing and I'm open to explore what teacher's meeting me today. So it's essential. There's nothing that arises that isn't there to evolve us as human beings. There's nothing. And also, I always ask young people, okay, I get it. There are different groups and cliques and all the stuff that goes on at school. And we can sit back and we can have an opinion and judgment about it all day long. But I really want to know, how free are you willing to be? How free? Free from that drama, free from the separation, free from the judgment. How free are you willing to be? I mean, that is a choice. Freedom is a choice to stand in the midst of society and all of its ways, in the midst of people, the midst of your school and the community there, and just remain free, free from that. Able to be a part of it, but in no way identified by it. Able to move within it, hopefully in service, and not be diminished by it. How free are you willing to be?
Well, it's hard to be free.
Well, but yeah, it can
be. I mean, when I say it's hard to be free, I mean, unless you're surrounding yourself with the tools and the resources to program oneself to even be aware of what freedom might look like, it's so easy to just fall into the norm, into the rat race. So what have you experienced in regards to how your purpose, which you talked about having connection to younger, like how did your purpose help you to be free?
It put in perspective kind of what the point of my life was about. And it really took it from, you know, if I have this thing I want to grow in me, in my world, in the community, then I had to make some decisions. It's a prioritization. I couldn't put at the very top of the list being liked by everyone in the world. I couldn't put at the very top of the list trying to become something or someone that would be the most acceptable thing to everybody else. I put in the very front is to be as authentic as I could be and as true to myself as I can be, to offer that to the world first, with the total understanding that not everyone here is going to like it, and that's okay. So, I mean, that is just, it's a decision about, and I get that it's not easy, but it has to start somewhere.
Absolutely. Starts
sitting in the inquiry of it. What is the most important thing about the way I want to walk through life, through my community, through my circle of friends? You know, I've made that a priority to honor this, to be authentic. But to do that, to be free in that, I had to accept, my goal could not be to be liked by everyone. It just can't be the goal. Or we'll modify and edit and censor ourselves and be resentful and judgmental. Not necessary all the time.
Yeah, it reminds me of this idea that even as a brand, as a business, that one of the things that you're trying to do with your services or your products is you're trying to not create something that pleases everyone. You're actually really looking to be yourself, or for the business to be its own identity and to attract the type of people that it's going to attract. And so that your messaging can be more clear to those individuals that you can then attract to your product or service, versus trying to have this universal message where everyone loves you, but you don't even know who you are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So then you appreciate who's standing right there with you. Those people that get it, right? Feel you, see you, resonate with you. We get to really deepen in those relationships.
Yep.
And there's a freedom. If you're not always trying to be liked all the time, please everyone, be a part of every single thing, we have so much more freedom to connect, explore, adventure, see what's out there, be willing to take risks, even if you fall, you fail, all of it just frees up. So in no means do I think it's simply easy. It's a kind of unlearning and relearning about what matters to you most, what's most meaningful, beginning to build your life on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there a question that you ask yourself about what's most, is it that simple? Like, is there a certain process or a series of questions you ask yourself to get connected to what you want to live for?
You know, I was just had one coming up. I used to say a lot, give what you want the most. So I would ask myself, well, and as a person, what do I really want as a human being in my circle of friends, in the community? Well, you know, I want to be seen in a way that is respectable, and I want to feel kind. I love compassion. And so I just ask myself, well, what do I want? And then I commit myself to giving it to everyone I meet. And when I have to give it, I have to find it in me. I have to source it. I have to start discovering where the very thing I want from the world exists in me. That's one thing. Give what you want the most.
That's a beautiful way to be inspired, to bring forward the very characteristics you're looking to attract or you're searching for.
Exactly.
Beautiful. Give what you want the most. It's almost like treat others like you want to be treated.
Pretty much. But this time you have to find the treasure. Because it's, you know, we want like the one who's standing and judging and feeling the separation and the different groups. Well, what do you want? You know, do you want the unity? Do you want everyone to come together? Do you want there to be a bridge that unites? Do you want, it's on you. Like,
yeah.
Find the remedy in you. Find the remedy.
I know. I can actually see times in my life where I was not the remedy. Right. My hope and my goal was that progress would be made, yet something inside of me geared towards being judgmental or kind of like angry inside versus being more open and curious. Or it's just interesting that even though I know that, it still comes over me sometimes where I can almost feel that there's a judgment inside of me, there's an anger inside of me, even though I know that I want to attract love or I want to attract kindness or generosity, that in the moment, for some reason, because of some sort of disagreement or difference in values or difference in choices, that I feel disconnected from the other person. And then therefore I get something inside of me. I can even see that it's anger, and I'm almost wrestling with it inside of myself, trying to push it not away, but to let it go through me, to allow the other characteristics that I want to be there. What do you do when you start to feel like, I want to give what I want the most, and boy, I feel all of this negativity inside of me. What do I do with it so I can get to the place to give?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, on your first question, it's just authenticity heals is another thing I walk with. Authenticity heals. So if I am indeed feeling angry or have a strong emotion that's at the surface, that's in some ways I can't move around, then I have to find a witness. I call it just find a witness and use authenticity to offer it up to yourself. I mean, really, it's taking it from being in the back of your being, kind of in your back pocket, that dense place, and surfacing it. Because anger, sadness, grief, all these emotions, they're like energy, you know? It's energy, and when left bound inside our heart or mind, then it kind of controls the way we see the world, the way we see ourselves. So authenticity is like pulling it out, shining the light of your awareness on it, and it's even more powerful to invite a friend to witness it with you. Because the moment you're authentic about it, it starts to change it. So I live by authenticity heals.
Are you talking about acknowledging it? Like authenticity, like when you say witness, are you talking about having someone that you're able to acknowledge what you're feeling to so you can get through it?
Yes. Right, because that's what's there. It does us no good to try to go around our anger and find and around our sadness. We won't be able to fully receive the gift of our life. It has to go through the anger, through the sadness. So having a witness and calling a friend and just saying, man, I walk with this anger. I'm walking with anger. It's blinding me. Underneath it, I see that I really want to connect. But man, it's like a shield I can't get through. The minute you start talking about it like that, it starts to change. The minute you bring a friend into it, it really changes here in your life now. It becomes real. It's changing. It's here, and I'm responsible with it.
Now, how do you balance that with like complaining about, you know, how do you balance the witness with just a shoulder to complain on?
I mean, you have to own your feeling. A complaint is not owning that this isn't coming from inside of me. A complaint is about what's out there.
Right. You know, but this is what's inside of me because now I'm bringing in why this is inside of me. Like, how do you, how do you balance that inside of yourself? Where you're like, hey, I can feel myself acknowledging and being authentic versus I'm kind of focusing in this area that really isn't serving me and my focus is being pulled, and I need to do that tender balance of acknowledging versus venting or complaining.
Well, I'm just going to say it like this. We all know when we're complaining. We all know when we're venting. We all know when we're trying to rally someone else in our misery. We know the difference. the other side of it is, I really want to connect, but because of this anger, I can't. And that's a whole other conversation. It's not about what's happened. It's about what I walk with, what's inside of me. And so, yes, maybe we need a whole other call for that.
But yeah,
we do know the difference. And I, especially with young people, I mean, we are aware.
Yeah.
It's about being as responsible for what you already deeply know and honoring it. Rising.
Nice.
You know, rise up.
What have you witnessed in just, I don't think you're a parent.
I mean, no, but I feel very lucky to have thousands of youth that I get to grow with.
Yes. What are you most inspired by when you think about your work with youth over the years? What inspires you the most?
How much the young people have wisdom and medicine for us, for the adults. How clear young people are in what they see and what they're experiencing, maybe not asked a lot what they see, but how clear they really are, and how many inspired visions and responses they have for the things facing our community and our world and each other. And just honestly, the power of simply as adults leveling in a respectful way with young people, and the magic that occurs there, and the willingness that young people have to see us, you know, where we get to just be human beings for a minute. And how, honestly, not just willing, but there's a yearning for that kind of meeting where we're not just, you know, moms, dads, and their kids, or teachers and the kids, and, you know, that we really meet as a community of human beings on the path of life, facing some of the very same things, no matter the age. Just the beauty of coming together as a village and talking about it. That young people want it. And not just that, is they have a lot that we need to hear. A lot to offer.
I agree. It reminds me, myself and a good buddy of ours, John Vroman, had this call last week. We actually were on a call similar to this, and we were talking about hearing young people. And they are as I want to say parents, because there's parents listening to this, there's NGLs listening to this. Young people are such an easy group for, I think, older people like parents or even myself, the cool uncle, to want to like teach and talk at.
Oh, yeah.
And there actually has to be a very deliberate kind of choice that you make as an adult where you go, I'm going to not only ask questions, but I'm also going to find ways to connect with this young adult, NGL kid, in a way that is on their terms and not my terms.
Exactly.
Tell us about that.
Yes. And well, I wanted to add to, you know, I want to connect, and I have to be willing as a grown, whatever you called it, an older person,
a grown up, I guess you call it, a grown up.
I have to be willing to be vulnerable, because young people want what's real. I mean, I have to be willing to take off the role or the mask that I wear. I have to be willing to really be someone that's interested, truly curious. And yeah, I have to be willing to drop the agenda and meet on those terms, like you said, which I think vary with each young person. I mean, that just depends on who you talk to. If you talk with someone who's, I mean, I work with, you know, kids that are coming from the Congo, you know, running from their homelands, that's different terms than some kids that maybe are growing up in the suburbs of America. So I, as a grown person, have to be truly curious and in wonder about who's in front of me, as with any human being that I encounter. It's just a complete leveling. I mean, I always struggle with young person, grown person. I know we have to use those terms, but with person.
Yeah, human.
The person that's in front of me. And yeah, I understand the roles we play. I understand, you know, that And even most young people, if they see me, they're going to look at me and go, oh, grown up. And there's a shift that happens in the way they relate to me versus who they relate to their friends, of course. But as a grown person, I have this amazing opportunity, but it takes my willingness to be vulnerable. It takes my willingness to kind of go on an adventure. I can't hold all the control and power to come right down to the ground and go, who are you? And to have the same willingness to be discovered in who I am, really. Again, I go back to authenticity heals. Be an authentic human being, not who you think I'm to be because I'm older, or who I think you should be, or how you should act as a young person. No, who are you? Who are you really?
It's one of the things I love most about this FamBundance community is we're creating, especially at our live events, we're creating this space where the kids can walk away for an hour or so from being with their families, get into a group with a whole bunch of kids their age, start to create their own visions for the future, their own action plans, and then they're able to come back, they're able to present it to each other, have conversations, and then come back to their parents and go, hey, this is what I'm really into. This is what I want to accomplish, in a way where the parents can then not only see what it is that their child wants to accomplish, but in that same moment, they also get a whole bunch of information on some of those access points on what to ask about and how to communicate and connect with them. Because in many ways, and I know that we're talking about just a specific group of people who are bringing and delivering through a conversation their visions to their parents. What I notice is that in that moment, as they're in their groups, I can see the families get more connected because they're learning more about each other. And I think that whether it's a family or we're talking about you and a person who's 20 years younger and myself and someone who's 20 years younger, or a parent on this call who's has one of their kids' friends in their house at the kitchen counter and you're all having avocado toast and they just had a sleepover. Like, that's an opportunity to connect and look for ways to, what are they talking about? Where might be your places to deliver some sort of value? How can you connect with them? And I think of there's like two different places. One of them is, there's the design place where you can have like a business meeting as a family meeting. But most of the times it's kind of like an impromptu type of thing for families. Like, what are some ways that you've activated kids in the past in kind of a, you know, a passing, or you don't have them for an event, you just have them for kind of like a shorter period of time? How do you interact with them and get them to potentially lean in a little bit?
Okay, well, I have to say something about what you just said, and then I'll answer your question. I think it's easy for us to think about, and I'm just learning about the FamBundance community, so it's nice to hear all this stuff. Don't forget that kids are just as curious about their parents and adults' dreams and visions, and that it goes both ways. It's not just a one-way conversation. Kids really open and flower when they see the humanity of their parents, or even the vulnerability to say, you know, I'm 45 years old and I still dream of doing this, or, you know what, I really, that two-way street is what really builds unity, respect, resonance, collaboration. So I know it's easy as parents as we just focus on what the kids, and I love that your community is just focused on stoking the fire of these young people and their dreaming. But man, what we really need in this world, again, that leveling, that's what I mean, where it goes all the way around the circle. It's powerful. You discover things about your parent that, well, one, maybe you have in yourself, but two, that you even have more respect, awe, wonder, curiosity you want to invite into your own life as a young person. You want to know your mom beyond mom. So I just wanted to say that.
Oh, I love it. That was a great gift to myself, and to the team who's on here. We have some of our FamBundance team who's on the call with us listening in. You really delivered such a amazing, such a nice gift to us, because what we're really working towards is providing the opportunity for families to have these conversations. And I hadn't thought about it in how interested and how important it is for the kids to hear the moms and dads' goals.
I mean, yeah, remember that the kids often see what they've already accomplished. You know, they go to work every day. But they also need to know that you never stop evolving, dreaming. And it's okay. Some things flower and they go away and you start again. And so with that, the second part was, how do you get, you know, with a short amount of time, get young people kind of to lean into those conversations? I mean, I have countless ways, and I'm sure you probably do a lot of them. Best thing for a short amount of time is the prompts. And again, everything I do with youth, it's intergenerational. So it's rarely just a group of young people sitting around. And so the prompt would be like, if you really knew me, you would know. Right? Go, if you really knew me, you would know. And you keep going around until it deepens and deepens. Now add your parents to the mix. Imagine that conversation. If you really knew me, you would know. Whatever.
You would know, like, let's do it. Let's just give an example.
Yeah.
Oh, we could do it. We could do it between us.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, if you really knew me, you would know that I'm a street photographer, and I love sitting with homeless people in every city that I go.
If you really knew me, you would know that I really love to eat plants, and I think that our food is a really great way to stand up for what we believe.
Beautiful. Let's go one more round, go a little deeper. Okay. If you really knew me, you would know that I long, he's so vulnerable. I can feel it, my heart beating right here on this call. If you really knew me, you would know that I long to reconnect with my father in a more meaningful way.
If you really knew me, you would know that one of the biggest opportunities and challenges I have in my life is not being so hard on myself.
Thank you. Now imagine that with a family.
Yeah.
That's
right. Powerful. What's another one? What's another one that you could see? Now, what's one that's like kind of like in passing potentially?
In passing.
not passing, but just like, what's a low-hanging fruit? You meet a kid on the street, you don't know the kid, and they're not into potentially something a little deeper. You've got to be like, yo, I need to start on the surface with you. Here's my first one or two moves.
Right. I mean, we all have our own style, right?
Yeah.
I'm always like, hey, man, what are you about?
Nice. I could see how that would work for you.
It works for me. That's
weird. Do you say, hey, man, what are you all about? Or you just say, what are you about?
What are you about?
What are you about? Oh, nice and clean. Okay. Let's see.
Because it's authentic. It has to be authentic.
Sometimes I just go, hey, what's been the, and this doesn't always work. What's been the best part of your day?
Right. So clean that for some young people, it's too clean, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It depends on it depends on the kid. Like there's the young person is, and yeah, so we got on this point of just to kind of bring this back full circle, is we were talking about the opportunities for parents and adults to see kids as their teachers, and that they're bringing wisdom and value forth in all these different conversations, and for parents and adults to find more space to hear what they have to say versus always thinking that we know what we need to say to them to get them to get where they need to be. And then the second thing we talked about was the kids hearing their parents' goals and how important it is for the parents to share that it's part of life to always be evolving And that, and also through this, if you really knew me, you would know that there's an opportunity for adults and kids to, for adults to connect with kids also through being vulnerable and showing them that they're not perfect.
To me, that's everything. What you just said, vulnerable and really, really reflecting the reality of our humanity. It's everything. It's what fosters trust. It's when we trust and respect someone is when we feel like what we're seeing is what we're getting. It's a resonance that's so beyond. So for me, you just summed it up. It's about vulnerability. And it's okay. I think sometimes parents or teachers or whatever the role feels like vulnerability will threaten the structure, you know, that kind of keeps things in place. But I personally have found that, you know, you can hold that really powerful structure of whatever it is, the respectful environment you want to create with your kids, and let them in even more. Because look, if my teachers aren't human in my eyes, then they're just my teachers. It's hard for me to imagine rising and meeting that place if I never see their humanity.
So. Yeah, it's wonderful. Well, I have one, maybe two more questions for you. Okay. Thank you so much for spending time with us, Vanessa. This has been...
I hope it serves. I look forward one day to meeting your community and having a better sense.
Yes. I'm fascinated that the Go Abundance guys are coming down to Hawaii. And I'm going to try and make that work if there's any way possible.
Stop by.
It'd be so great. Yes. So good. So my question is, what would you tell a young Vanessa? Like, what would you tell the 15-year-old Vanessa that you know now, that you know that if you told her, she would experience something, I don't want to say different, it's not better, but something that you would just give her some wisdom that would bring fulfillment into her life? What would you tell her?
I would have, if I could tell her then what I know now, I would say that the hardships or the sufferings that you might be experiencing now are prescribed for your greatness and your evolution. So keep walking. Trust the medicine, that everything that has come and that you're feeling and experiencing is just like carving a beautiful flute. So don't resist. Receive.
And to you, is the medicine the experience?
Yeah, the medicine is the experience, and it's the essential journey that I have to walk in order to really fulfill all of the visions and the dreaming. It makes me who I am. It's uncovering me to myself, my resilience, what I'm made of, what I can hold, what I can create, what I can face without being diminished. So yeah, the whole journey was like perfectly prescribed for me to do exactly what I'm doing today, to have these conversations and to work with 15-year-olds. And in my case, a lot of 15-year-olds who are, you know, have had a pretty hard road.
Where can people find you? Like if someone wanted to go straight from this episode and say to them, and they say to themselves, I need to know more about Vanessa Stone. Where are the spots that they can go find you?
Oh man, there's tons of websites. They could go to vanessastone.org. They could go to emergingvisionaries.org. They could go to amalafoundation.org. They could go to CAGYPS, which is the California Global Youth Peace Summit.org.
Yeah.
Just type my name into Google.
Well, this is both my, I was going to say, that's a really good instruction for our team who's listening in on that, to get a list of all the, to get a list of all of your accolades and to post it when we post this podcast, and all the things, like every single thing that you're up to, because you've got so much going on, you're doing so much good in the world. It is such a privilege and an honor to be connected to you. I've enjoyed every conversation we've had. I'm looking forward to many, many more. And is there anything you'd like to say to the NGLs or to any of the parents on this call before we say goodbye?
Yeah, NGLs. One, right on, that you are hearing the call inside of you, that you're rising up at a young age. I want to say, trust what's alive in you at all costs. Trust it. Stoke the fire of what's alive in you. It will take you into amazing landscapes of possibility. So big respect to you all for doing that work. And to the families, same thing. It's really powerful to hear. And again, I'm just learning how committed you all are to everybody's thriving, to your family thriving, and to your children, having a sense of what's possible for them and who they are. Big respect to all of you for doing the work. It's essential. The work you all are doing as families is some of the most transformational work for our village, as our human village. We have to start there, the jewel, what you've got going on at home. So thank you for raising beautiful humans.
Oh, so good. Thank you so much, Vanessa.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Yes, have an amazing time on the rest of your trip, camping and contributing and experiencing. And you live on Hawaii.
Yes.
I say on Hawaii. You live in Hawaii on...
It's on Hawaii. That's the right way.
On Hawaii. That's the right way to say it. Okay, good. On Hawaii. And our GoBundance, some of our GoBundance men will be coming to see you. And I have it in the vision of my future of having a FamBundance event in Hawaii at some point in time. So
please come. We have beautiful land, amazing exploration. You're all welcome.
Well, this will be the end of our call. GoBundance, FamBundance, anyone else listening to this, NGLs, make it an amazing day. Thanks, Vanessa Stone, for joining us. And we'll see you at the next event or the next online Learn and Grow call, or we'll see you around.